All Games Radio Online presents the Bobby Black Wolf Show, week of August 21st, 2005.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, the show that gives gamers a voice, from a live broadcast to podcast, All Games Radio Online presents the Bobby Blackwell Show.
For the next hour, we'll discuss the latest gaming news and gaming trends, as well as touching on your favorite classics. From Atari to Xbox, we'll talk about it all. Our Skype line is always open at Bobby Blackwolf Show, so if you can't be here for our live Sunday night broadcast, feel free to voice your opinion for a future episode. To participate in our live broadcast, join us in the AllGames.com chat room on the GameSurge IRC network or on our forums at AllGames.com.
And now, Bobby Blackwolf.
Come on, everybody. Start dancing and just don't break over your chair. Hello, everyone, and welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. Thanks for joining us. For the live folks, we are hanging out in the AllGames.com chat room on the GameSurge IRC network, and our Skype line is Bobby Blackwolf Show, all one word. Now, for you podcast folks, feel free to call our Skype line's voicemail with your thoughts on any topic in the gaming industry, or just leave me an email at blackwolf@allgames.com, and you might hear yourself on the air in a future episode. And I also want to thank Kropotkin for providing the short UK news segment that runs before this show goes live. And he does have a podcast for that, so if you live in Europe and usually can't stay up until 2 a.m. your time to listen to the live show, you can check out his podcast. These are linked on our website, allgames.com/podcast, or at his site, kropotkin.co.uk. First, I want to have a little follow-up of a story that we covered last week. As promised, id Software actually did release the source code to Quake 3 Arena under the GPL. The engine, it weighs in at about 5.45 megabytes, and it's available at FileShack, a part of shacknews.com. This is, as I said last week, this is a really good thing for the industry, and it is really just the engine. There's no art assets or anything. You're going to have to provide that from your own copy of Quake 3 Arena. And, I mean, they released the Doom source code, and now you can play Doom on your iPod. You know, they've got the PSP port. I mean, they've been able to put Doom on everything. I'm waiting for my microwave to play Doom. And that's all because id Software released the source code to it. So I'm curious to see what we are going to see Quake 3 Arena played on in the future. But that had all the fanboys screaming and yelping for joy. Now let's talk about fanboys all the world crying out in anguish. That's right, because Monday Nintendo announced that its anticipated new adventure game, The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess, has been delayed. The title, formerly scheduled to debut this November around the world, has since been postponed to 2006 so that the developer can continue to make the game better. Let's see, Perrin Kaplan, who is Nintendo of America's Vice President of Corporate Affairs, said, after much discussion, the Zelda development team has requested extra time to add new levels, more depth, and even higher quality to Zelda Twilight Princess. Consequently, we're adding a new global launch in 2006 after the conclusion of this fiscal year, March 31st. We'll provide a specific date at a later point in time. While this may come as a disappointment to many eager fans, it will absolutely enrich the game and make it a multi-million seller. Now, many people on our forums are really up in arms over this, but one thing that I've really noticed with everybody being all upset is that it's a trend about gamers. Given the choice, gamers would rather play a buggy game now than a polished game later. The game's not going to be ready by November, but everybody's crying that they want this game to come out in November. Now, I mean, I realize this is going to give Microsoft pretty much, no competition for their Xbox 360 launch, because this would have been the hottest GameCube title ever. And I'm just afraid of the backlash that would have occurred had the game been released and not been as good as it could have been. And so they've done the what they do at Nintendo and, make sure that the game's right. And if that means delaying it, then it's going to be delayed. You're still going to get to play it, just maybe not in November. Now, one thing that I do want to point out, and I just checked, this is still up there. If you go to imdb.com and you search for Zelda Twilight Princess, you'll find it. It's 2005. It's a video game. It's directed by Eiji Aonuma, and its writing credits Shigeru Miyamoto. And it has a credited cast here. Link is by Nobuyuki Hiyama. I am so destroying that pronunciation. And Ganondorf Dragmire is voiced by Takeshi Nagasako. And then there's some more cast here. Epona, the horse, is being voiced by 50 Cent. The man is Reginald Fils-Aimé. And Tingle is going to be voiced by Richard Simmons. This is all on IMDb.com, so obviously, since you're reading it on the internet, it must be true. You can check that out. I have no clue how much longer that's going to be on there. It's actually been on the internet for a couple days now, and they still haven't taken it down. So you should go check that out. Now, we are in chat, allgames.com, on the GameSurge IRC network. My Skype line is open. I'm going to open it right now. And if you want to call in and talk about this, we do have other things we're going to talk about. You know, should we be getting buggy games sooner just to placate our appetite? Or, you know, do you honestly think that really the developers are trying to do it this the right way? Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air. Who is this?
Hey, Bobby, it's the Raven.
Hey, man, what's on your mind?
Hey, I just wanted to talk about the Zelda delay.
Right.
Because I don't know if they really needed the time like they say they did. I think it really has to do with the Xbox 360 launch. And since the game was going to come out in November, so was the Xbox 360. And I think that the hype that the 360 is getting was going to take away from Zelda. And I think that's the reason for the delay. And they're obviously...
I don't know. I don't agree with that. You know, I think that Nintendo should have stayed up with the Xbox, since they could have taken on the Xbox 360 just by Zelda's name alone. So
right.
I don't think that that's really the reason.
Well, now you have all the rumors about PlayStation 3 being delayed to 2007, and that just goes on with people spending money on 360.
Mm-hmm.
Then when March comes, the Revolution comes out, and then when the hype dies out for both of them, people will want something new. And
right.
Then there we go with the PlayStation 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I also heard that the PlayStation 2, the slim version, is going to go down to $100, and they may just run on that till the PlayStation 3 launch.
Well, I mean, that's still a rumor with the PlayStation 3.
Right.
They're going to base that, you know, if the Xbox 360 launch fails, then yeah, they're going to delay it. But if
right.
it goes well, they're going to continue doing it.
Well, I just still think about that with Zelda, that I think they had the game ready because such a huge game like that. And obviously, if they needed more time, that's great because I just love Zelda and I'll wait for it
mm-hmm.
for them to add extra levels and stuff. But I still think that the 360 hype had something to do with them delaying it a little bit.
Nah, see, I think they'd want to counter the 360 hype. I disagree with you on that one. Because this was, I mean, Sony doesn't have anything coming up that will be able to combat the 360.
Right.
Zelda could have combated it and it, you know... I think it would have won, but then again, I'm a Nintendo fanboy. So.
Right, well, I'm a Nintendo fanboy, too, so
right.
I know what you're coming from there.
Right. Now, I want to, while you're on the line,
right.
I want to throw out one of the other news items here, and I'm just going to talk about this. AllGames right. member Shady45 first posted on our AllGames.com forums about how there's a huge flaw in Madden NFL 2006 online for both PS2 and Xbox. And what it does is it tells the opponent whether you are running or passing 100% of the time. Now, without getting too detailed, apparently the button icons for the halfback and the fullback are set to one way if it's a pass play, and they're reversed if it's a run play. Therefore, if your opponent will know just about every single time if you're running a run or a pass play unless you really audible quickly, and they don't notice that you audibled it. Now, AllGames owner Scott Rubin even chimed in on our forums. That's almost as bad as last year's flaw that ruined online play. You know the formation glitch that forced them to remove stamina from online play. So now your running back could keep going and going and going and going. And you actually had pointed out another thing with Madden on our forums.
Right.
What was that?
Well, I pointed out that depending on what controller, what system you're using, I use the PlayStation 2 version personally,
mm-hmm.
but there's going to be an audible button. And when you press that audible button, you have the choice to do quick audibles, which takes audibles from the same formation that you're in that you may not have saved.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. with the right control stick. And when you do that, it actually doesn't change the icons. So while the person still thinks you're doing a running play, you could have everyone going deep, and he'll blitz everyone, and then you'll just have an easy touchdown. And I've seen that this glitch actually helps me win easier because people are using it so much that they don't realize that you could audible and it won't change anything. And then Scott Rubin just, he complains about everything. I mean, I was just using one play on him. Chris Phil, I was playing Chris Phil, and I told him, hey, I was running this play on Scott, and he stopped it the first time he got it, but Scott couldn't stop it all game. Yeah. Scott, he complains about everything, so you can't really take his words for gold.
Now, what about this quit glitch that you were talking about?
Right, this quit glitch. People will disconnect, and it'll say you lost connection, and it always gives you three options. You could continue versus the computer. Mm-hmm. You could quit the game and count it, which it'll count your stats up to that point but not give you a win or a loss. Mm-hmm. And then you could also just forget about the game, and it'll say quit and don't count the game, and nothing will be counted. Now, what they do with this glitch is when they do it, if you continue against the computer and you don't ask the computer for mercy, which is if you're beating the computer by 23 or more points, you could pause the game and ask the computer for mercy, and that way it'll give you the win even if they do the glitch. But if you keep playing until the end of the game without doing the granting the computer mercy, it'll actually give you a loss, give you the disconnect percentage, and just raise your ranking. Like, I was ranked 20, and it just blew me out to, like, 50, something like that. So you really have to pay attention to that. And a way to figure it out is, if they do it, you could go down to the quit and count game. And if it says, do you want to quit, instead of saying, you will not get a win for this, mm-hmm. that means that they did the glitch, and you could continue against the computer if you want, or take your chances.
Of course, now, I did rent Madden, and you want to know what the best part of it was? That burnout demo.
Well, you know, I thought the best part for me, the surprise for me, was having all the NFL Films music on it.
Yeah,
I'm
that
a big
was nice.
Fan of that music.
Yeah, and I liked the fact that they did put the actual NFL Films music as well. Now, they don't make that the default. They default to the remixes,
right.
But the actual unadulterated stuff's there.
Right. Well, I didn't even see that in the features list that they put out online and stuff, so that was a really nice surprise for me when I went to audio, took out all those garbage songs.
Yeah, the EA tracks.
Stick in there.
Yeah. But Burnout was pretty.
Right. I played the Burnout demo
it was
also.
Pretty.
Yeah, that game really makes you want to crash into things.
Well, I like the fact that, because one of the things I didn't like about the last Burnout was that if you hit another car, you could have crashed. Now you can actually hit them and, like, hit the normal traffic, not like the other people you're playing
right.
against, and it actually counts towards you instead of penalizes you. So.
Yeah, that game is so much fun. I'm not a huge racing fan, but mm-hmm. games where you get points for crashing into stuff, that's just up my alley right there.
Right. Well, thanks for your thoughts, man.
All right, no problem.
Thanks. So, Hendrick says that, remember, the EA Fun Police will prevent you from playing Burnout Online, and that is what happened to me with Burnout 3. And everybody's really big fan of the NFL Films music. That really was a really good one. I might have, you know, made the joke about the Burnout, but I like that. I'm a music person, so I'm into that, and it was nice to have something that wasn't EA tracks on there. Illmatic X17 says that EA needs to spend more time on their games. I kind of jumped around. Okay, so let's go back to Nintendo a little bit, because something was released, some news. Actually, Jim Merrick, who's the head of European marketing and one of the key designers of the Wi-Fi setup for the Nintendo DS, gave an interview to European website Puissance Nintendo, and more details came out about exactly what will be happening with the Wi-Fi system. Now, here's the highlights on this. It's free for users and developers to take advantage of, but you might see a pay game, such as a massively multiplayer online game, as well. You can play people from a buddy list or someone random, and you'll have a unique ID, unique login ID for the Nintendo.com stuff, but you'll be able to use whatever name you want for each game, even if somebody else has it. There will be free hotspots in some stores, and they will also have a DS download service as well. Hopefully they've improved it since E3. And the first game that will work on it is Mario Kart, Then Tony Hawk might be second, followed by Animal Crossing as third. And there's a number of projects that haven't been announced yet. Xbox Live? I wonder. Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air. Who is this?
It's Neckerbone. What's
hey,
up?
Hey, what's on your mind?
With Nintendo, we'll start with the Zelda thing, and it sort of flows into the Wi-Fi thing. Nintendo's known for, the fact that they take time is the reason they have the quality. And while I think the 360 might have impacted the push a bit, I think they might have a finished product out there. I still think they're going to take the time that they've come up with this pushback to add to make it an even better product if it is the 360 that pushed it back. Because, I mean, at this point, the GameCube, it as much as I love Nintendo, it's pretty much fried. And I figure, it sounds like these guys, they realize this, and they're like, you know, if we can fit more into here, there's room on this disc, let's fill it. Let's fill it and not fill it with just crap.
Right.
So, I mean, I respect their decision. I think everyone who's whining should just shut up, and now you got more time to save the money.
Yeah.
So, and...
Well, I mean, gamers just, they want to play something now.
Well... Yeah. It's the summer. There's nothing.
Right. Yeah.
And the same thing, it kind of shows in the Wi-Fi, too. I mean, the whole thing was, you know, shady. You didn't hear much about it for a while. But, like, Mario Kart and Animal Crossing kept getting pushed back and pushed back because they didn't have the system up. And now they're finally releasing details, and you're hearing it sounds incredible. And it seems like it was worth the wait. So I think Zelda's going to be worth the wait, too.
Right. Yeah,
I mean, well, just trust Nintendo.
Yeah, I mean, and that's you know, one of the things, like, if you read Game Over, one of the last parts of the book says, never underestimate Nintendo, and a lot of people keep on underestimating Nintendo, and I'm sorry, they're still here.
Exactly.
Everybody thinks they're going away and all that stuff. They're still here.
They may be off in their little own world now and then, but they're still a juggernaut. They're not on top of the market, but they're in the market. They are still one of the top three.
Right. Thanks for calling.
Oh, yeah. Anytime.
Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air. Who is this?
Hey, this is Rare.
Hey, man. What's on your mind?
Hey, man. I just wanted to apologize for a few weeks ago when, you know, I called in and got a little confused there. You know, I got it straight now.
Yeah. Well, you know, no problem.
Yeah, I wanted to say I've been a longtime fan of your show.
Thank you.
Each week, it just gets better and better, man.
Thank you.
That's great. And I want to know, are you going to make any swag, you know, shirts, Frisbees with Bobby Blackwolf Show on there?
I don't know. I do know that there's All Games swag for allgames.com. I know Scott's working on that.
No. We need Bobby Blackwolf
swag. We're going to think about that. We're going to see how things go.
If you make it, man, I will buy it. I know 100 other people will buy it.
Okay.
I know Loserly will buy it. She's a sucker. She'll go buy stuff for it.
We're working on it.
Continue your work, man, and I'll be behind you, supporting you with everyone else.
Thank you, man.
All right, man.
Thanks. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype. Well, we've talked a lot about Nintendo. Let's talk a little bit about Microsoft, okay? In terms of the Xbox 360 pretty much having a uncontested launch here, they've announced pricing and that they are going to be doing exactly what gamers wished Sony did with the PSP, and guess what? Gamers are upset about it. So let's go back to March, when Sony released the PSP. Now, they only released one bundle, that PSP Value Pack, which had the PSP and a bunch of stuff that was really just fluff and not needed to run the PSP. Gamers were upset. Why can't we have just the system itself for a lower price? That's what everybody asked. So fast forward to today, or actually this week, Microsoft announced that the Xbox 360 will have two bundles, one with the bare-bones essentials and another with all the extra fluffy features that cost $100 more. And guess what? Those same gamers were upset about the PSP only having one bundle and are now upset that Microsoft dare have two bundles. The full-featured version is going to retail for $399, whereas the bare-bones essential system will retail for the same price the PS2 and Xbox retailed at their launch, $299. Now, what do you get with that $399 system that you don't get with the $299 version? According to the fact sheet sent out to some retailers, a wireless controller, a headset, an Ethernet cable, component high-def cables, a 20-gigabyte hard drive, which also means you can't have backwards compatibility with the top-selling Xbox titles, and a universal media remote. Everybody wanted, you know, what if somebody doesn't have a high-def TV, they don't play on Xbox Live, And they have an Xbox. They don't want to play their Xbox 360 games on their Xbox. The $2.99 bundle is perfect for them. They're not paying extra to get all this stuff they're not going to use. Now, I understand that $3.99 is a big hit. The Neo Geo failed because it was a $6.99 system. It was $2.99 for each game cartridge. But, you know, you're getting a lot of stuff, and a lot of this stuff, you can get the $2.99 system, and then it would cost you more to buy all this stuff separately, like the hard drive. The 20-gig hard drive alone, for some reason, is $99.99. Now, I don't know if it's going to be a standard IDE drive like the Sony one, or if it's going to be, you know, the proprietary format so you can't put your own hard drive in there and hack it and all that stuff. But I don't understand why everybody was saying, oh, Sony, you should have released multiple SKUs, and now they're upset at Microsoft for doing exactly what they asked Sony to do. Now, I do want to add on the Xbox 360 front, there's also a new alternate reality game that's associated itself with the Xbox 360, and that's at OriginXbox360.com. And all it has so far is a countdown clock to September 27th at noon Eastern. And there's some speculating that it's about the Japanese launch of the Xbox, since Japan is Microsoft's number one priority for this holiday season. Everybody's telling me that my analogy sucked. Wilcon says that he'd actually prefer a wired controller, since I sit next to the console. It pays not to worry about the batteries. Plus, the wired controller you can use with Windows. Interlogic says it's because the reason that the hard drive is so much is because Microsoft can charge $100 for a hard drive. Why not? It's Microsoft. Sub-Z has pointed out that it's really $340 360 versus $399 360. I'm not sure why that is. Oh, for a memory card. That's right. That's what he was going for, because the memory card is going to be $40. If you don't have a hard drive, you need to buy a 64-meg memory card, which is a tactic Sony uses, and everybody is happy about that. Nintendo used with the GameCube. It didn't come with a memory card. Everybody was fine with that. $40 for a memory card is insane, says Arcatan. I agree. I mean, what happened to the $20 memory cards and memory sticks? Memories are so low these days. We're going to go ahead and do our music in the middle. We actually do have two Xbox songs here. If you listen to the live show, you'll be able to listen to music, game music that we can't air on the podcast. So you're listening to the Bobby Blackwolf Show on All Games Radio Online.
This is Crystal1724 welcoming you back to the Bobby Blackwolf Show, the only place that consistently and effectively owns me every time I call in.
Thank you, Chris Phil, 1724, for the bumper. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwolf Show. If you want to leave a bumper like that, you can just call our Skype line during the week and leave a voicemail. And I'll edit out the beginning and the end and make it sound nice and put it behind music and stuff. If you really want to do that, Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype. I can still take some calls if anybody wants to talk about the Xbox 360 or the Nintendo DS. But I do want to bring up this news. NewScientist.com reported this week that a man has been arrested in Japan on suspicion of carrying out on a virtual mugging spree by using software bots to beat up and rob characters in the online computer game Lineage 2. The stolen virtual possessions were then exchanged for real cash. The Chinese exchange student was arrested by police in Kagawa Prefecture, southern Japan, the Mainichi Daily News reports. Several players had their characters beaten and robbed off of valuable virtual objects, according to NCSoft, which makes Lineage 2. The assailant was a character controlled by a software bot rather than a human player, making it unbeatable. By performing tasks within a game repetitively or very quickly, bots can easily outplay human-controlled characters, giving unscrupulous players an unfair advantage. Many game firms employ countermeasures to detect this bot activity. For example, they can ask the character questions or present him with an unfamiliar situation and monitor their response. Furthermore, the line between virtual and real cash has already disappeared. The game EverQuest, for example, lets players buy and sell virtual items and characters for real money through an authorized online trading site. Nekobun says that my Japanese pronunciation makes me cry. My English pronunciation makes me cry, actually. People are just getting way too into it. I mean, Lineage was actually one of the top... the original Lineage was the top MMO in the world. Because of Korea and all them. It's a phenomenon over there, and I guess, you know, there's actually been slayings in Korea over Lineage 2, and then there's this. This could happen in any MMO, and it's just something to report on. Mako said that, I would say that this would make gaming more interesting, kill an NPC in Anarchy Online, get arrested on murder charges in real life. That would bring excitement back into games, the risk of ruining your real life instead of just restarting from the last save again. You can ruin your real-life playing these games on other things other than murder charges, like not paying your bills or stuff like that. Reading through chat, Tedekin says, robots, they're beginning their revolt. Rare says that World of Warcraft has claimed victims such as one of our chatters, Hermdog. GK128 says that who needs work when you can game? Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air. Who is this?
This is Interlogic.
Hey, man, what's on your mind?
Hi. Sorry to go back. I wanted to talk about the Microsoft thing.
Okay.
All right. But I found it was quite interesting when Microsoft and the pricing scheme and how they're going to set it up. It actually makes sense. They're going to probably get a lot of money out of this if they keep things the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what a great idea. I mean, that's what they're there for. They're there to make money.
Right.
That's the point of any company. So if you're going to have, you know, this type of thing where you can have, you know, two different types of systems, hey, win-win for everyone, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But what I'm interested about is probably the hard drive the most, just because the pricing of it. I mean, $20 for, you know,
$100.
I'm sorry, for 20 gigs, $100.
Yeah.
Which is very, very odd, considering you can probably find one on eBay or even in a store. I don't even know if they make normal 20 gig hard drives anymore. Yeah. I never see them around, but
they would be about $20.
Yeah, they're cheap. They're not that expensive, so.
Well, I mean,
the reasoning is they're probably going to have to use a non-standard port. There's
right.
No way around it. They're going to have to.
I think they learned from the first time, you know, when people could just put in any old IDE drive. Yeah. I mean, even the Sony ones, you can put in any old IDE drive.
Yeah, you don't even need, like, a mod chip in those systems. You can just...
Right.
Not easy, but there's plenty of easy-to-use guides out there to make it, you know, less complicated for non-tech savvy. But still, it's either going to be non-standard IDE or the format of which the hard drive is. Because the Xbox, the original Xbox, used, if I remember correctly, a VFAT format for the hard drive. So the only way you could read it in a computer was if you used some special form of Linux. It was very complicated.
Yeah.
So it's either going to be that, like a very odd format, or just a non-standard IDE cable, which probably makes more sense overall.
Yeah, well, Arkatan says that in the pictures it looks like you can just slide in the hard drive into, like, the side or the top of the box, depending on where you have it. So maybe it's the whole enclosure also.
Yeah. The way the hard drive's designed, too. I mean, hard drives come in all shapes and sizes in a way. I mean, small, big, you know. It all really depends until it comes out. Or unless they say something, which I doubt they're going to do.
Right.
But you never know.
Yeah, it's just they're able to make money, and you know, not many developers in the Xbox One used the hard drive features, so they don't feel that they need to make it required.
It's for music.
Nobody's going to use it. Custom soundtracks and save games, that's all they use it for.
Yeah, although I like the custom soundtracks and those type of things, though. Knowing to bring over all your music but and the small hard drive, that's not very nice,
right.
But still. And the fact that I just worry about the hard drive being an integral part of the system just because my Xbox hard drive died.
Right.
I was using it. It died. It was old. It was pre-used already,
mm-hmm.
and I modded it. So that thing was, you know, taking more abuse than, you know, something. So it just flat out died. So if that's an integral part of the system, I can't use my Xbox anymore, and I can't get another hard drive in it. Unless I mod it, which then there's no point, because I really don't want to put any more money into it.
Right.
But still.
Well, thanks for your thoughts, man.
All right.
Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype. Mako says that Microsoft is making buying a console the same as going into a car showroom. Wait until you get offered monogramming in the leather seating for an extra $399 when you buy the next console. The Raven said that Microsoft contacted developers telling them not to count on a hard drive being there all the time. And, you know, nobody counted on it being there all the time anyway, except for the custom soundtracks. That's it. Zane says that he has yet to be mentioned on this show. I think I fixed that. GK128 says, without a standard hard drive, say goodbye to custom tracks. Not necessarily. I mean, it can be an option. Say goodbye to games like Blinks or anything that actually used the hard drive in gameplay. That's what you can say goodbye to. Anything else can be optional, and it won't hurt anything. The West Exit says, but Blinks sucked. And, yeah, it did. It was great on paper, not so great in execution. Sub-Z says that Prince of Persia did something similar to Blinks. That's right. You know, Prince of Persia, everybody liked it, but it also had the Sands of Time feature and stuff. You won't be able to see that with that much detail. Now, they did pull that off on the PS2, which doesn't have a hard drive, so maybe they'll be able to pull it off, but, you know, nothing that would actually use the nothing that would actually use the hard drive in normal gameplay. Oshi says that one thing that made the Xbox appeal to me is its hard drive with the downloadable stuff for games, Planes and Crimson Skies, Halo 2 maps, and the like. Well, that can still be there. It'll just be optional. You'll have to have a hard drive to be able to get that downloadable content. Now, will developers create that downloadable content? However, Xbox Live is not there for everybody, you know, and they still make it. Wilcon says that you can use the memory card on Live, and I'm sure you can use the space for downloadable content. Actually, EverQuest Online Adventures for the PS2 used the memory card to download patches and stuff. You didn't need the hard drive for that one. Right now, what we're going to do, this is a new segment of the show that I'm going to do. And this is every Tuesday, a bunch of new releases get released in North America. And, you know, a lot of people, you probably just don't have the time to know exactly what's being released. And so now it's time for the Bobby Blackwolf Show's New Release Tuesday. We're going to start off with the PSP, which has one game coming out. It's the Namco Museum Battle Collection. It's by Namco, and it's a compilation of more than 20 classic Namco games, such as Core Classics, Pac-Man, Ms. Pac-Man, Galaga, Galaxian, Dig Dug, Rally X, and New Rally X. There's also an additional 10 slightly more obscure games, Xevious, Bosconian, Rolling Thunder, Mappy, Tower of Druaga, Dragon Buster, Robota, Modos, Dig Dug 2, and King and Balloon. Some of the games even utilize four-player ad hoc wireless mode to either play cooperatively or competitively. For the DS, Advance Wars Dual Strike by Nintendo allows players to lead their new commanding officers to fend off the Black Hole Army's latest invasion. With massive battles that sweep across both of the DS screens, Advance Wars Dual Strike claims to change the face of war forever. It received a 9.2 from GameSpot and a 9 from IGN. Also on the DS, Nintendogs by Nintendo has taken Japan by storm since its release. Nintendogs features puppies from the most popular dog breeds like Chihuahuas, Labrador Retrievers, Beagles, and German Shepherds. There will be more than 15 breeds in all, including breeds not featured in the Japanese versions. The pups will vary in gender, coloration, and personality. Players can socialize their pups by walking them around town where they will meet other neighborhood dogs and maybe even find new toys. Trips to the park and gym offer valuable training to prepare for all the agility trials and disc competitions. Over time, the pup's stamina will increase so players can explore faster and farther. Players can also interact wirelessly with their friends' Nintendogs. They can set their DS to bark whenever another puppy is within wireless range. There are three versions of the game available, Chihuahua and Friends, Dachshund and Friends, and Labrador and Friends. It received a 9.1 from GameSpot and an 8.8 from IGN. Seeing a release on all three consoles this week, GameCube, PS2, and Xbox, and it's actually the only GameCube release this week, The Incredible Hulk Ultimate Destruction by Vivendi Universal is where the world is your playground when you're the Hulk. With destructible environments, a new storyline, and intense action, The Incredible Hulk lets you experience life as the popular comic book hero. It received an 8.4 from IGN. On the PS2 and Xbox this week, 187 Ride or Die by Ubisoft is a vehicular combat game in which you must race and defeat your ruthless opponents in order to become top dog. The game puts you in the role of Buck, a young tough who's working his way up the ranks of a criminal empire belonging to the hefty Dupree, an OG who's clearly well-versed in the ways of the streets. Dupree's got a long-standing beef with another game leader named Cortez, and you'll be dealing violently with Cortez thugs as you run one lucrative street race after another and rise to notoriety yourself. Beatdown Fists of Vengeance by Capcom lets you play as one of the five fugitives seeking revenge against their enemies. To survive in the dangerous underworld of Las Sombras, you must find allies, earn money, and prove yourself in street battles. It received a 5 out of 10 by Game Informer magazine. Big Mother Truckers 2 by THQ begins with Ma Jackson being taken into police custody for tax evasion. The only way she can win her case is by hiring Cousin Jacob, the most fancy-talking legal fella this side of Boogers Canyon. Players will be challenged to locate six jurors and raise the cash needed to bribe them to let Ma off by trucking, trading, wheeling, and dealing. This ripoff of Sega's 18-wheeler Pro Trucker pretty much got 5 out of 10 across the board in European publications. Pump It Up Exceed by Mastiff is a dancing game based on the popular arcade series. An arrow-stomping simulation like Konami's Dance Dance Revolution, it differentiates itself by featuring a freestyle setting that forces you to dance as opposed to stomp through the use of routines that, for example, require you to hit three or more pads simultaneously, which is obviously impossible to accomplish only using your feet. Early reviews from GeForce X-Play gave it a 3 out of 5. World Series of Poker by Activision is the only officially licensed poker game that allows players the same intensity, excitement, and authenticity of going all-in at the WSOP Final Table in Las Vegas and taking home the championship. Square off in a setting that realistically mimics Harrah's Rio Casino with ESPN presentation-style commentators calling the action. On the PS2, Inuyasha Feudal Combat by Bandai is a cel-shaded fighting game featuring characters from the popular Inuyasha anime series. You'll be able to play as any of the 12 popular characters from the TV show. Gameplay modes will include a two-player versus mode, a mission mode, and a story-driven single-player game. Battles will be played out in interactive environments that you're free to run around and explore. And NHRA Championship Drag Racing by ValueSoft brings top fuel dragsters, pro stock cars, funny cars, and a roster of professional drivers to your PlayStation 2. And on the Xbox, we have two SNK games. Metal Slug 4 and 5 by SNK is a compilation that not only boasts excellent versions of the original Metal Slug 4 and Metal Slug 5 games, but also adds new playable characters and four levels of difficulty to the mix. You assume the role of a badass Metal Slug team member, charged with single-handedly, or with the help of one other team member if you're playing co-op with a friend, saving the world from an army of bad guys by running from left to right and killing every single last one of them. Go right and conquer, 2D side-scroller fans. It was released on the 21st and received a 7.5 from GameSpot. And The King of Fighters 2002 and 2003 is a 2D fighting game compilation that features Xbox Live play, much like that of the Capcom vs. SNK series. Now, while in most cases a compilation combining two fighting games from consecutive years would be redundant, KOF 2002 and 2003 actually offer very different fighting experiences. Traditionalists will gravitate toward the earlier entry, while fans of lightning-fast 2D fighters such as Marvel vs. Capcom will probably like the newer game. It received a 5.4 from the official Xbox Magazine UK. And that is the new releases for this Tuesday. Zane says that Metal Slug Advance ruled. SNK needs to make more GBA and DS games. They probably do well. I don't see the fighting games working on anything but the PSP. Arkatan says that he still doesn't understand why the Game Boy Advance didn't have four buttons on the face of it. I don't know either. They fixed that with the DS, but I don't understand that either. Gita says that fighting games are still awe-inspiring. Okay, that is all the time we have for this week's edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show. Thanks for sticking with us. We'll be back next week on Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on All Games Radio Online. Check out the Shoutcast stream posted on our website, allgames.com/podcast. Feel free to leave a voicemail with us on any topic or just leave a bumper for us to use on our show on our Skype line, Bobby Blackwolf Show. You can also email your thoughts and opinions to me at blackwolf@allgames.com, and you can join our official forums at allgames.com to take part in our community. But for those of you here listening live, it's time for that great All Games tradition, reading the list of chatters. Apulo, Chanserv, Liquid Blues, Alt, Burr, Doomplague, Gita, Hendrix, Nekobun, Oshi, Rare, Refi, Willa, Arkatan, Bam Bam, Captain Roy, Captain Mad, Chrisville, 1724, Crispy, D5T, Dazelle, Empty Thought, Fifth Dream, Geico Kujin, Gene Starwin, GK128, Helter Skelter, Ichiban, Ilmatic, X17, Interlogic, Kadosho, Kazan, King K. Rule, Nuxonic, Loserly, Mako, Meru, Mecha, Mediocre, Rearranging Paper Sun, Stone Cold Freak 1, Sub-Z, Tedekin, The Matrix, The Raven, The West Exit, Tiger Claw, Twinson, Visid, Wilcon, and Zane. Once again, thanks for listening to the Bobby Blackwolf Show on All Games Radio Online. See you next week.
A winner is you. If you wish to comment on any of the topics on tonight's episode, you may leave a voicemail on our Skype line, Bobby Blackwolf Show, via email at blackwolf@allgames.com, or by joining our official forums at allgames.com. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. You've been listening to All Games Radio on